Open your Bibles today in Psalm 127. We're going through the book of Proverbs, the wisdom of Proverbs. And thank you, Pastor Luis, wise and foolish. It said fool last week. It says foolish now. We have the wisdom of Katie Becker, who speaks English way better than me. And she said it's foolish. And so don't be foolish and put foolish there. And so we changed that. So open your Bibles. Today we're going to talk about a subject that is going to be a blessing to everybody. Even if you're not a father, if you're not a grandma or a grandpa, we talked about how to organize your life and how to, last week, what did we talk about? What was it? How to win at work. How to win at work. Did something different, I hope. Today, we're going to talk about how to raise kids you enjoy. How to raise kids that you enjoy. We're going to see in the Word of God that God not only loves you, but He likes you. Whew, man, I'm loaded with this message. I want to say everything in 5 seconds. Psalm 127:3 says, behold, pay attention, open your eyes. Something is, behold. Children are a pain in the neck. Children are what? A what? A gift from the Lord. In my paraphrasing, the fruit of the womb is a reward. You did something right, that God allows you to have kids. The Bible says the fruit of the womb is what? Is a what? A reward. Let's pray. Would you repeat after me? This is like Thursday night. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, help me to not only love my kids, but to like them, to delight in them, to enjoy them, and not to just endure them. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Amen. If you give a gift to somebody, behold, children are a what? A what? A gift. A reward. Have you ever received a reward from somebody? A bonus around Christmas, and your boss told you, here is a bonus because you have been working so hard. I'm going to give you a bonus of $500. I want you to suffer with this reward. That sounds like crazy? It sounds crazy. Here is Christmas, and I bought everybody new pajamas, and you guys can enjoy now new pajamas, throw away all the pajamas with holes. And what did you want somebody when you give them a gift? You want them to what? To enjoy. Sometimes we endure them instead of enjoying them. God wants you to enjoy the gifts. Is one of the greatest, greatest, greatest gift He ever gave you. I'm not going to cry, but I kind of feel like your kids. This message is for everybody because we're going to talk a lot about wisdom today. The first point of my message, Proverbs, is very practical. The book of Proverbs is compact wisdom. Thank you, Pastor Luis. Easy to remember. That's what I love about Proverbs. You can read every day a chapter, 31 chapters. Compact wisdom. In 5, 6, 7, 10 words, you can remember amazing wisdom, all compact. That's Proverbs. That's why it's so important. Proverbs is for people to become wise. Wisdom versus foolishness. That's Proverbs. A lot of times in Proverbs, you're going to find things that is not sin if you do them. It's just dumb if you do those things. It's not sin. It's just dumb. And that's what we're going to talk about parenting today. Wisdom and smartness, or smart and wisdom, is two different things. Smart people gets good grades, gets diplomas, know something about something and maybe can make money or build something. Takes you to the moon. Smart, you get a college. Let me tell you something. You don't get smart in college most of the time. Unless you have a very wise, godly counselor there. Smart will give you good grades. Wisdom will give you a great life. Smart gets good grades. Wisdom gives you a wonderful, great, blessed, not perfect, but blessed life. You find wisdom only in the Word of God, because the beginning of wisdom is what? What is the beginning of wisdom? The foundation of wisdom is what? Go to college. Is no. Is what? Is the fear of the Lord. If you fear the Lord, if you could put God first in your life, if you put God first in your family, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. The foolish despises wisdom and goes and sins with his life. Proverbs 1:2-7. We're going to go through all these verses really quick. Here is the beginning of the book. Beginning first chapter, it says, the purpose of this book is to teach people what? Wisdom and discipline. Verse 7 also talks about wisdom and discipline. Let me tell you, God says in his word, wisdom and discipline always goes together. And not just the discipline of being disciplined in how you eat, how you do your finances, how you make decisions, how you walk with God, but also the discipline of God, which is our Father who disciplines us. You understand what I'm saying? Some people don't want to walk in the discipline of the Lord. They want to be very disciplined in some stuff, but when God wants to discipline them, they have a hard time with that. The purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insight of the wise. We need to see the insight, and only through the Holy Spirit you're going to see the insight and stuff. Have you ever got in trouble because you didn't ask the insight of something that was going on with somebody in your life? Something that you didn't saw because it was inside. And God wants to reveal you stuff that are inside. And only God can reveal those things. So discipline is very important, that we teach our kids to be disciplined. Because parenting is not about controlling our kids. It's about to teach them to have self-control. Amen. That's what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say wisdom and control your kids. It says teach the kids what? Wisdom and discipline. Don't you and I get in trouble all the time for lack of what? Of applying self-control in our lives. Yes. Every time you and I get in trouble is because we just let our sinful ego, pride, anger, madness, hurt, unforgiveness, whatever, to get in the way, and we don't exercise self-control. So let me tell you something, because we get those little babies and we bring them from the hospital. I got four of them. And we start controlling them from the first day. But then we have to go through stages of life, of parenting. Sooner or later, we control them less and we teach them to have what? Self-control. Because when they're 35, 45, and 55, if they have not learned self-control, they're going to be in big trouble in their lives. With money, with addiction, with anger, with relationship, with madness, with whatever you want to put in the picture. So parenting is not about controlling. It's about to teach them to have self-control. And if you're not a parent, you're still going to enjoy today, because we're going to talk a lot about wisdom. The purpose, verse 3, the purpose is to teach people to live what? What? discipline, and successful lives. The purpose of this book is to teach us to live disciplined and successful life. In fact, the word disciple, I'm a disciple of Jesus. The origin of the word disciple is discipline. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus without what? Without having disciplines in your life and without walking under the discipline of the Lord. Because only He disciplines the kids that He loves and He delights in, the Bible says. We'll see that scripture in a moment. To help them to do what is right, just, and fair. Don't we love that for our kids? We want them to learn to do what is right, just, and fair. Maybe you come from a family who did not have the wisdom of God. Maybe you came from a family who they did not teach you the word of God. They did not teach you the book of Proverbs. They did not teach you to fear the Lord. They teach you whatever they teach you. And you're not coming from that. And that's okay, because God has called you into His family now. So you can start now learning the wisdom of God and start raising the next generation of kids under the wisdom of God. But maybe you come from a family who taught you the wisdom of God. Verse 4, this Proverbs will give you insight to the simple. Anybody simple here? Insight. Knowledge and discernment to who? To the young. See, the purpose of the book of Proverbs is to teach us insight, discipline, to fear the Lord, to put God first in our life. And then it says, verse 4 on the end, discernment to the young. Did you have to deal sometimes with your kids because they don't have discernment of the decision they are making, and you do know what's going to happen if they continue doing that? Babies come to this world. We all came as a baby. Amen? And we knew what? Nothing. How much do you know as a baby? You don't know nothing. You don't even know how an apple looks like until you see one, and then they tell you, this is an apple, a fruit you can eat. So we come to this world knowing nothing, and we parents have the responsibility to teach our kids what? To be what? Wise. The more you teach them, the more wise they can be, the more wise they are, the more you're going to enjoy them. But if they don't, can you still like them? How many of you guys are not perfect sons and daughters of Christ? He still loves you and He still likes you. Now, if I ask you, do you think God loves you? You say, oh, yes, I know He loved me. He'll die on the cross for me, Pastor. If I ask you, do you think He likes you? Many in here are going to say, I don't think God likes me, because I grew up in a home where if you did not do everything like mom and dad said, you can feel that they stop liking you. We're going to go into this, my friends. And you are a parent since the moment you get pregnant, mama and papa. That since then, you take care of that. You run to the hospital. You pray. You get wisdom from God. Verse 5, let the wise listen to this Proverbs and become even what? Wiser. You came to church because you are wise, and now you listen to the wisdom of God and the Proverbs, and you become what? Wiser. Let those with understanding receive what? Guidance. By exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles, let those with understanding receive guidance. Have you seen the documentaries where there is a nest in the tree with 5, 6 little babies, and mama is coming, or papa with a little worm or some kind of food? How are the babies waiting for that food? Have you seen that? Ah, they open it. It's amazing. That's how we should be with God's word every day in our lives. God, feed me. Feed me. I open my heart. I open my life. I am a fool, selfish, prideful, not very smart, Guy, I am led by my flesh, and I need you to give me wisdom. I want to be like those little baby birds. Feed me, God. Verse 7, fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is what? The foundation of true knowledge. The fear of the Lord is what? The foundation. How important is the foundation in a house? Because the rivers, the Bible said, Jesus said, the rivers and the storms are and the floods are going to come against the house of the fool man and against the house of the wise man also. Amen? We all going to get hit. Let me tell you, and I'm going to be honest with you. I was telling Katie, and I said, look at every family that you know, they have at least reached the kids of the level of teenager. And tell me if not one of them that we know did not went through some major storm in their parenting life. Not one, the most godly. I know one that everything was perfect until those teenagers had the families and they start raising kids, and then something major hit the entire family. Because the Bible says the rivers, the flood, and the storms are going to come against every house. And the Bible says the foundation of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. You need to put God first. You need to put God as the center of your life, no matter how beautiful everything looks. If God, is not the center and the foundation of your life, your house will crumble and fall apart and be washed away. Amen. No matter how much you do good sports, good money, good grades, and blah, 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 blah. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools, what they say? They despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord. Is God first in your life? Is God the center of your life? If He's not first in your life, He's not in your life at all. Not at all. Either you surrender everything to Jesus, or you just come to church. As plain and simple as that. You surrender everything in your life to Jesus, or you just come to church. And you can hate me for that, and that I'm totally fine with. I'm here to preach you the gospel. I'm here to help you to go to heaven. And for you to go to heaven, Jesus has to be the foundation and the center and number one in your life. I'd rather you get mad at me now than one day up there. Pastor, I went to your church for 5 years. You never told me that I had to surrender everything. You know what I'm saying? Everything. So is Jesus the center of your life? Another question. Is God the center of your family? Every family has a center. Look at the person next to you and tell them. Every family has a center. I'll give you some centers, and I'll give you some priorities in these centers. The second point, every family has a center. Look at the schedule of the family. Look at the budget. Look at the energy. Look at the important conversation. Look at the big fights, the big argument. Look at what moves the family. Look at what moves the family. What is important? What is the schedule? What the energy? What are they talking about? What are they all week into it? One center of the family can be school and education. The center of the family is school and education. The priority in the family is what? Grades. School and education, grades is the priority. You got to get better grades. Everybody is an honor student. How many B's you got? You got a C? What? Did you got a D? What? Another center of the family, sports. That can be like a cult. They take all your money and they control your life. Can I say that again? Sports is one of the centers the devil put in this world. And I'm not saying don't do sports. I love soccer. I know you guys are into sports, but it can be the center of your family. What is the priority? Winning. Yes? Winning, the priority. God is not the center. Another center of a family, money. another center of the family. What's the priority? Mom and dad work, 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 and work all the time. I love what Pastor Luis said a couple weeks ago. Priorities is what you really do. Values is what you say. It's important, but priorities is what shows that is important in your life. You know what I'm saying? So money, the center. Mom and dad working all the time. Priority. Another center of some family, fear. They have parents who came from abused homes. Parents who went through abuse, control, hurt, and they not healed yet, and they move that to the next generation. And everything is, you know what I'm saying? Fear, 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 fear. Kids can be controlled by fear, and that's not godly. God, you serve God not because he controls you by fear. You serve him because he what? He loves you. He loves you. Fear. People who are not healed, full of hurt, they move that. Another center, selfish comfort. Comfort. And so what's the priority? Leave me alone. Parents who don't have time for the kids. Kids don't have time for the siblings. Siblings who don't have time for the parents. Siblings don't have time for each other. So as parents, when comfort is the priority, leave me alone. I will tell you, the kids will show up at the worst moments of your day and your night. When you lock that bedroom door, you know what I'm saying? That's when, bam, you know, now it's an emergency. Because when leave me alone is priority, you're living a life centered in comfort. Another center of family, the latest crisis. The latest crisis. Listen, my friend, this is good stuff. Some people grow up in families like that. Always a crisis. The center of the family crisis, the priority is what? Drama. And when one drama starts fading away, somebody's going to come up with a new drama. With a new crisis, with a new emergency, with a new, everybody's running around like a chicken without a head. The center of the family is attention. And so when I don't get all the attention I want, I create what? Drama. What? Drama. Yelling, screaming, running here and there. Can I say that's not godly? I don't picture heaven like that. I am no one to go if that's heaven. Center of the family. Careful, my friends, because if you are not married, you don't have kids, be careful. If you come from families like that, it's easy to drag that into your next family. Can I say that? Careful, young people. Careful who you marry. If they come from a center of the family crisis and priority is the drama, you just marry with a lot and a lot and a lot of drama. May the Lord give you wisdom. Amen. To cut the devil curse. Amen. 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 Be wise. Wise. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. So what is the idea? God wants us, who should be the center of our family? Who? God, Jesus. When God is the center of the family, what is the priority? The wisdom of God. Because the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. They go together. Verse 7 says, but fools despise what? Wisdom and discipline. Fools despise wisdom and discipline, and the center of the family becomes the lightest crisis, the selfish comfort, the fear, money, school, education, sports, and maybe some other ones that you can just know because you're living in that family. Alrighty? So God has to be the center, not only of my life, but also of my family. So when God is the center of my family, I will constantly going to be instructing my kids in the wisdom of God. In the wisdom of God. Because one day they're going to walk out of the house and they're going to maybe try to make something else the center of their life. And they're going to suffer the consequence of that new center of their lives. And then they're going to remember, I grew up in a home where the wisdom of God was there and the fear of the Lord was there, and we had peace and we love each other and we had a great time and we liked each other. Now I'm living in this life that I don't like anybody, nobody likes me, and my life is like hell. Maybe my parents were right. Maybe. Maybe the things your kids fight you now, one day they're going to say, thank you, Mom and Dad. Just wait. If you keep walking in the wisdom, just wait. It's coming. The third point of my message. Wisdom produces transformation. Information just gives you knowledge, but wisdom produces transformation. So in a home where there is the wisdom of God, there is always going to be a challenge for transformation. In a person's life where the wisdom of God is there every morning, and I love this because I grew up with a father who taught me that. So when I came back to Jesus at the age of 18, I walked a few years in the foolishness of the world. I came back to Jesus and I said, you know what, I'm not kidding you. 4 in the morning, I had to go to work at 4:30, get in at 5. 4 in the morning, I wake up. I didn't shower because in South America we shower in the night. The next morning you wake up, you brush your teeth, you fix your hair, I make me a coffee. My mom made this homemade bread in the oven outside, an amazing bread. I spread a big old slice of that with butter and jelly and a cup of coffee, and I'm reading the proverb of the day. Because I grew up in a home where they teach me, you want to be wise? Read Proverbs. And so, wisdom produces transformation. Where can you get wisdom? First, from the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus was the wisest man on earth. Amen? Amen. And the Bible says time after time, he was led and guided by what? By who? By the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to surrender your life to Jesus this morning. Because when you surrender everything in your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and you're going to know that you know that you know. And now you hear a voice that you have never heard before who is guiding you in the wisdom of God. But you need also to spend time in the Word. Okay? Because the second fountain of wisdom is the Bible. The Holy Spirit will guide you, but he's going to always use what? The Bible. The Word of God. So when you are a young person with that boyfriend or that girlfriend in the car, and you guys are going somewhere the flesh is telling you to go, and all of a sudden you're not going to just take your hands off and turn on the car, and your girlfriend's going to say, where are you going? And you say, we're going home. We're going to find the Bible. We're going to read the Bible now. Because it's not so much how much Bible you read, it's how much Bible you retain. And if the Bible is inside of you, when you are in the situation of temptation, then the Holy Spirit is going to come and say, take your hands off. Are you here with me today? Jesus did not tell Satan, wait a little bit, let me go back to town, to the synagogue, and see what the scripture says about this that you just told me when he was tempted in the desert. Did he do that? No. He had the word, inside. So the Holy Spirit, the Bible, another one, prayer. It's important to receive wisdom. A lot of times the Lord is going to speak to you as you pray and spend time with Him. But also as you pray, you have to pray this: God, I want to do Your will in my life. Because you, doing Your will is never wise. Amen? Never. I told you how my mama was a wise person. One of the few things I remember from her is always, you got to do the will of God in your life. And you know my story, and it sticked with me. Never wear a pair of Adidas tennis shoes. Never. My parents couldn't afford that. So I got a job at 12, and I started working like crazy, and I walked in front of the only Adidas sports center in my town. And they was the black stripes with the white leather tennis shoes, my dream tennis shoes. 3 blocks from my house. And I start saving money. How many of you guys don't know this story? Nobody, everybody knows this story? You don't remember my stories then. And I was a teenager. And I wanted them. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to shine. I wanted everybody to talk about the tennis shoes, the Christian God, the leather white with the stripes. And finally, I got my last check, who just made the amount of money. You got to understand that in South America, you need to work at least 2 or 3 weeks sometimes to make all the money safe to buy one pair of shoes. And so I ran home, and I got the rest of the money. And I was running out of my house door. My mom, you're going to pray here before you go and do that purchase, my mama said. And I couldn't wait for her to let me go of her arms. And Lord, if it is your will that he would buy this tennis, I think my mom saw something inside of me, you know what I'm saying? All that selfish, ego, shiny, flashy thing. And she prayed, and finally she said, amen. I ran out. And they were there when I walked home just a few minutes before. And I got to the store, and they had just sold the only pair in my name. And why I value this story, because a pair of tennis shoes is not a portion of the value of the lesson that my mom taught me. And you can only imagine how I walked into the house without the box. And my mama said, it wasn't God's will. My mother teach me, whatever you do, put God as the center and do only His will. Wisdom, the fear of the Lord. Aren't you glad I didn't buy those tennis shoes, and now you can hear that story? I am glad I didn't buy those tennis shoes, and I got something engraved in my heart. Only do the will of God for your life. So prayer, God, I want to do your will. Another fountain of wisdom, wise people, wise counsel. Where did you get your counsel? Where did you get your wisdom? From your head only? Woo! From people who have not lived at least 50 or 60 years on this earth, walking with Jesus and know the Word of God, where do you get your wisdom from? You and I need wise counsel. Eating breakfast yesterday with a couple of friends of our pastors, we gave each other permission to speak into each other's marriages. If you ever see anything, I told him. And I tell you, I told him, and he knows me. If I ever see something that I don't think is healthy in your marriage, I'm going to talk to you and talk to you and talk to you until you get divorced or whatever it is. But I'm not going to let you go, because we need wise people in our lives. Wise counsel. Where did you get your counsel from? Remember what I said last Sunday? When I was a teenager, I didn't ask anybody for counseling. I didn't ask anybody for help. Great signs of immaturity. But wise people ask for wisdom. The last one, your experience. We're all going to make mistakes in our lives. The foolish keeps doing the same mistake. The wise person learns from the mistake and walks away and just doesn't go back to the same trail that took him to that mistake. And have an amen on that. Your own experience. Here we have Daniel. Here we have a man in the Bible. Proverbs 5. Read Proverbs 5. The father is walking with the son, teaching him wisdom. And he says, look at that man, super sick over there. He can barely walk. Something like that. You see that guy over there, the father said to the son? Man, that guy is sick. You know why he's sick, the father says? He has been sleeping around with a promiscuous woman. That's why he has a venereal disease. Read it. Proverbs, the whole chapter 5. Wisdom. The foundation of wisdom should be home. More than church, because you don't spend more than 2 or 3 hours here in church. But your kids spend a lot of hours, I hope, at home with you. Amen? Amen. Here you have Daniel. 15, 16 years old. Years, Daniel in the Old Testament. Grew up in a home. They eat healthy. They talk healthy. They feared the Lord. They did not engage with sin, with idolatry. The guy is 16 or 17, and he's picked up from his land, and he's dropped in where? In Babylon. He finds 3 wise, godly friends. Wisdom. He knows that he cannot fight this fight alone. He finds godly, good friends. Are you listening? Young and old. It's like you get an Amish boy who grew up in a godly Bible home, and they pick him up at the age of 16, and they drop him in the streets of Las Vegas, Nevada. If he is wise and learned the wisdom of God at home and wants to apply that, what is he going to do? He's going to find a church first who is going to help him to have 2 or 3 or 4 good, godly friends. Amen? Amen. And this teenager boy fights against every demon in Babylon and every authority and the government's power because he is what? He is wise. Because he learned at home the wisdom of the Lord. Tremendous story. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. His internal environment of Daniel was healthy and godly. Here's my last point. Do you enjoy your kids? Do you like them? Do you delight in your kids? Go with me to Proverbs against 3, 11 and 12, and I promise I'm going to finish here. Somebody turn the clock back a few minutes, please. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 says, let's all read it together. 1, 2, 3. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves. Just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. The reason you are able to walk with Jesus and walk under his discipline is because not only that he loves you, but the Bible says that he only corrects the child that he not only loves, but he also what? Delights in. You don't have the right to discipline your kids until you don't like them, until you don't delight in them. How much time do you spend disciplining, and how much time you spend delighting in them? Some of us have to turn down a little bit the knob of discipline, because discipline is occasional and delighting is constant. Does God discipline you constantly? No. He delights and loves you constantly. Amen. The Bible says, my friends, that the father corrects a child in whom he delights. How much time you spend with those kids, having a great, good old country time. Playing games, going fishing, watching movies, having conversation, cooking together, whatever you guys do. Are you following me here? The Lord only spanks the kids that He loves and likes. Are you perfect? Are your kids perfect? Where is all the responsibility comes? I'm where? I'm mama and I'm papa. That's why you serve Jesus. Because He does not treat you like a lot of parents in this world. He likes you. He's patient. He's merciful. He's tender. He's wise. He's firm. He corrects you. But you know the heart behind is the biggest heart that you can ever imagine in the whole wide world. Only discipline breaks the heart of a child. When I was acting out at the age of 15, 16, my dad had a conversation with me, and he said, "Have I hurt you? Why are you acting like that?" I had to have that conversation with more than one of my kids. "Why are you acting like that? You're changing. You're acting different. Have I hurt you? Have I done something that bothers you? Is it because I'm a pastor? Tell me." Because my dad teach me that example. I heard about this son who has a tremendous ministry with his father, but they had a horrible relationship until one day they both playing golf. And the relationship was awful. And the father asked his child, "Have I hurt you?" And the son said, "Dad, I'm very self-motivated. I push myself very hard. And you push me so much harder. I don't need you to push me so hard all the time. It's breaking me." The father repented, hugged him, asked for forgiveness. They pray with each other. And now they have an amazing ministry together, 20 years later still. Would you close your eyes right there where you are? Oh, Father God, we can only humble ourselves before the wisdom of your word. Lord, we know that it's not about getting it right all the time. It's about being humble parents, God, who walk in your wisdom, who learn to delight so much more than just discipline, 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 and correction all the time. If you're here this morning and Jesus is not the center of your life, would you allow me to guide you in a prayer saying, and everybody can pray, say, "Father God, I want you to be my Father. I surrender my life to you. I need your Holy Spirit in my life to guide me and give me wisdom. Please forgive me all my sins. I want you to be my Father for the rest of my life." Amen and amen.